Oh, let's love the Lord this morning. Are you astounded by His love and His grace and His mercy and His peace? He'll give you peace forevermore. He'll give you joy that no person, nobody can contain. I want that kind of joy and that kind of peace. You know, there's something to be said when you're at peace with the situation. When stuff happens and chaos is going around you, but the Lord of glory steps in because you have a relationship with Him and a communication with Him. Starts in the prayer room. Starts on your knees in prayer. Starts with communication. In order to have a good relationship, you've got to communicate. I can make Brother Andrew my enemy if I came up here and just hit him. He wouldn't like me very much. But I come up here and say, "How are you, buddy? It's good to see you here this morning." There's a relationship. There's a bond. When you have a bond with God, when you have a relationship with God, when chaos begins to come all around you and confusion and you don't know what to say or do, you can just say, "Jesus," and you have a peace that will come over you. And no matter what the situation is, you can make it. You can make it. You can make it. Because you've given the situation to the King of glory, to the King of kings and the Lord of lords. I want Him to fight all of my battles. I want Him to take care of all of my situations, all of my troubles, all of my trials. Now there's some things that you have to do. You've got to get up and take a stand. You've got to get up and take a stand for the King of kings and the Lord of lords. You've got to make a decision for yourself. Maybe you've come today and you haven't made that decision. Before this service is over, I challenge you to make the decision to live for God like never before. I challenge you to get up out of your situation, out of your problem, out of your trial, out of your family disaster, out of your work disaster, out of whatever is going on in your life, and draw a line in the sand and say, "God, I'm going to live for You. I'm going to serve You. I'm going to build a relationship with You." And then turn right around and say, "Satan, I bind You in the name of Jesus Christ. Get behind me. Leave me alone. Leave my family alone. Leave everything alone that's around me. Leave my church alone. Leave my pastor alone. In the name of Jesus." Everybody say, "In Jesus' name." God bless you this morning. Welcome. Happy Mother's Day. If you were here for Adult Sunday School, you heard a wonderful message by Pastor. And you also heard him say when he started that don't go to sleep on him, go to sleep on the next guy. If you go to sleep on me, we're going to have some relationship. Wake up. Hallelujah. Why don't you stand to your feet this morning? Let's just give the Lord a hand clap of praise. He is worthy of all of our praise. Yes, He is. Yes, He is. We'll look at Ephesians 6 and verse 12 quickly. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of the world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." What are you going through? What are you dealing with? Look at your neighbor, ask him, "What are you dealing with? What are you going through? What's going on in your world? What's got you to the point where you are right now?" Lord Jesus, we come before You today. We ask You to open our minds and our hearts to understanding. Give us a desire to live for You above all else. Make us willing servants. Guide and keep each word that I speak, that I speak in love and in Your will. I thank You, Lord, for this Mother's Day, this time of fellowship together. But I thank You more, Lord, that Your presence is here and Your anointing is here and Your forgiveness is here and Your love is here and Your mercy is here. God, I ask that You come in and on our behalf, do a work in our lives. In Jesus' name, everybody said, "In Jesus' name," you may be seated. God bless you. Someone once asked a man if he was having a good weekend. Have you ever been asked that? "Are you having a good weekend? Are you having a good day?" Anybody ever ask you that? Well, I'm asking, are you having a good weekend yet? I hope you are. Hallelujah. But this man was asked, how's your weekend going, buddy? And he said, well, it's been terrible, to be honest with you. I ran a red light. Anybody here ever run a red light? Ran a red light? Did you get a ticket for it? Yellow light, you get a ticket for it? I'm here to tell you, I ran a red light in Lake Charles. time before last that we went bowling. I didn't see the light. I didn't see the cop sitting at the other light, but he saw me. And I promise you, it was as red could be. Because about 3 seconds of me going in it, my wife is screaming, "It's red, it's red, it's red." And then it clicked, "It's red. I better stop." So it was too late. I was already through it. Thank God nobody was coming in the opposite direction. I wish the policeman hadn't been sitting there at the other light watching me. But thank God, God is a God of mercy. Yeah. He pulled up, "Sir, you ran that red light." I said, "Yes, sir, I didn't even see it. My wife was hollering, red, red, red. I didn't hear it. I didn't see it. My mind was a million miles away. You could have killed somebody, sir." "Yes, sir, I understand that. I didn't see it. I'm sorry." "Well, where are you headed in such a hurry?" "Well, we're going bowling with our church." "Oh, okay. Well, hold on just a minute. Give me your license." Oh, Lord, I'm getting a ticket. And I sat there and I thought, well, I am guilty this time. So I deserve a ticket. About a minute and a half, 2 minutes go by. A state trooper pulls up. This is a Calcasieu sheriff that pulls me up. A state trooper pulls up. And I'm thinking, oh, Lord, have mercy. Tevye looks at me, the wife, the most beautiful thing in the whole wide world, the best thing that's ever happened to me besides Jesus. She looks at me, you wouldn't believe what she said. "What have you done? You're going to jail." "They done called the state trooper on you." I said, "I don't know what's going on. I might be. I don't know. I don't think I've done anything. I ran the red light. I know I ran the red light." So they talk for a little while. The state trooper gets in his car and he pulls out. And I'm thinking, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. He's leaving. The other officer comes up and says, "Sir, you have a perfect driving record. You have no tickets. Watch those red lights. I'm going to let you go today. I have never done this, but I'm doing it today, and I don't really know why." I said, "Thank you, sir. Thank you. May I shake your hand?" I had mercy. I received mercy. I have to tell you the truth. I was worried. I was scared. I was praying, "God, help me out of this situation." I had a doubt, and Thomas sitting next to me, "You're going to jail. Best thing that ever happened to me, but what did you do? Where's your faith, woman? You know me better than that." But this man, he ran this red light, and he wasn't as fortunate as I was. And he hit a police car. And he went on, he said, it gets worse. He said, I was in my brother's brand new Camaro. I thought about this when he was telling me. I thought, man, when Brother Eric had that Camaro, he didn't have any more. I should have borrowed it. Maybe this would have been fun. He wrecked this new Camaro and hit a police car. He said, besides that, I was doing things I wasn't supposed to do, and I had an open container in the car. I had been drinking. And I left my license at home. How has your weekend been? He was having a bad, bad weekend. To that man, the law was a real curse. The Bible tells us in Galatians 3 and 13 that Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. Yes, he did. Some people that think that this means that Christians can do whatever they wish to do, however they wish to do it. But, you know, since God removed all the red lights and he has redeemed us from the curse of the law, but that's not what it means. It's not true at all. It means that the law remains the same. The rules haven't changed, but the curse is now gone. I'm thankful that there are some red lights in my life and some green lights in my life. I'm thankful that there are some checkpoints in my life. I'm thankful for messages like I received this morning that feed me and challenge me. Get out of your bed. Get out of your habits. Get out of the issues you're dealing with. Take up your bed and walk. You got to do something. You got to get up. You got to get up to do that. You got to stand up. No matter what you're going through, you've got to get up and do something about it. You can't wait on somebody else to do it. You've got to do it for yourself. Yeah. Yeah. You've got to help yourself. You know, I've met literally hundreds of people in this community, and I can only help those that want to be helped and that will help themselves. Yeah. You can preach at them. You can sing to them. You can witness to them. You can take them to eat. You can go visit them in their home. You can invite them to your home. But unless they want to change, unless they want to get up for themselves, I'm here to tell somebody this morning it's a good thing. You need some red lights in your life. The rules have not changed, but the curse is now gone. A red light doesn't need to be a curse for you. It doesn't have to be an obstacle that you can't overcome. It can be a real blessing. Saying no isn't always a negative. Many of you here today are mothers, and I'm so happy that you are here. Without mothers, none of us would be here. It takes a mother. It takes a father to make a child. And you have learned through time, I'm sure, the word and the importance of the word no. They say that the hardest word in the English vocabulary to teach and to spell is the word N-O. No. No. I am here to testify that my father and my mother knew what the meaning of the word no meant. Because once the word no came across, if no wasn't responded to, something else was coming across. And it wasn't pleasant. But I got the point. And I figured out what no meant. Think about it. Think about it. Red lights. Red lights in our life. Ephesians 6, our text this morning. And you know, saying no is not always negative. Saying no is a good thing. Saying no is a good word to help teach. And I'm not a mother, obviously. If I was, somebody said Happy Mother's Day to me, I'd say, yeah, I'm probably the ugliest mother you'll ever see because I'm not a mother. But sometimes I feel like a father and a mother on Tuesday nights and dealing with some of your kids. The beauty of it is we get to send them home with you afterwards. But there's a value in being able to say no. And you can tell the difference in a child that has been taught the word no and one that has never heard it or doesn't hear it very often. I'm just talking this morning. I know, but it's Mother's Day, and I'm just excited for all of you mothers. So Ephesians 6 and 12, we read it in our text, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We're in a spiritual struggle. We're in a battle, whether you realize it or not. We are dealing with stuff like never before in this present day, in 2014. Not just in the United States of America, but in the world. There are things happening. More Bible prophecy is coming to pass than ever before. More things are coming to pass than ever before. If there was ever a time for you to get back right with God and sell out to God and get up from the space than the place that you have been living and say, God, I'm recommitting, I'm rededicating, I'm reconsecrating my life to you. Why? Because I want to make it. I want to make it. I want to be right. I'm here to tell somebody Jesus Christ is coming quickly. He is going to return. I want you to be ready. I want to hear those words, well done, thy good and faithful servant. I want to know that it's been worth it. I want to know that somebody on my right and somebody on my left, when I got up, they begin to pray with me and they begin to shout with me. I want to make it to glory. I want to be and see the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I want to look upon his face. I want to have a relationship. We are in a spiritual struggle. Most of the time, the devil will not come at you with a pitchfork. Here I am, and a tail hanging out like you see in some pictures, and red horns sticking out. Now, when Satan comes to you, it's going to be beautiful. It's going to be tempting. it's going to be irresistible. He's going to make you think that you'll be popular. He'll make you think that you'll be smart, that you'll be cool if you do this. You'll be admired. You'll be looked up to. You know, you'll have social status now. And it's all a lie. He is doing nothing but come to steal, kill, and to destroy. And I'm here to tell you, you can face sin, but you got to get up. Sin is disguised. It always comes in different forms and fashions. It feigns itself. It pretends itself. It'll come at you a million different ways and lie to you and say, well, if you just do this, nobody will know about it. And nobody will hear you say that word. And nobody will see you take that puff. And nobody will see you go cheat on them. It'll be okay. The Bible says when sin is finished, it bringeth forth death. It bringeth forth death. I'm here to tell you this morning, you can say no. Put some red lights up in your life. Get up and take a stand for Jesus Christ. There comes a time in every person's life when he or she has to stand to their feet and draw a line in the sand and exercise your authority because of the relationship and the infilling of the power, the gift of the Holy Ghost that God has given you, and take a stand. And if you're not full of the Holy Ghost, get up and take a stand and say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And I don't understand all of this yet, but God, I want a relationship with you, and I'm selling out to you, God. And whatever it takes, if it's in the book, I want it. I want it. I want it. If it's in the book, I've got to have it, God. You reveal yourself to me, and I'm here to tell you that God himself will reveal his power and his presence to you. And you'll open the book and you'll begin to read, and things will begin to come to you, and they'll become alive to you. And all these hundreds and hundreds of years ago that these words were written, they will apply to your everyday life right now, to your situation right now. But you got to get up. Everybody say, get up. Get up. You got to get up. You're going to have that opportunity at some point in your life. Everyone here that says that is of age, and even the young people, you've made decisions, both good and bad. You've made choices in your life, both good and bad. You've made decisions that you have had to live with, both good consequences and bad consequences, including myself. Pastor, help me this morning. There's some things that I've been just laying in the bed about. I ain't doing it no more. I'm not giving in no more. I'm not, there's no more excuse. Quit making excuses. If you want to live for God, live for God. If you don't, quit playing church. Quit playing patty cake with him. I want to be a Christian. I want to make it to heaven. And by making that decision, I'm saying I'm going to be the best Christian I can. I'm going to do the best that I can. You've got to take a stand. Somewhere you've got to take a stand for yourself, not for mama, not for daddy, not for grandpa, not for pastor, not for associate pastor, not for the sound, not for music director, not for anybody, but for yourself. I'm going to live for God. I'm going to do what's right by my family.